Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look at a couple of passages of scriptures tonight. And I'll talk about confidence in God no matter what you see. Confidence in God no matter what you may see. In these chapters, Jesus is telling parables that he did in Mark and Luke. And he tells one parable here that he didn't tell in any other places. And he's using these parables to illustrate his kingdom, how his kingdom will work. And the first one is in verse 14, the parable of the sower. He says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a little time afterwards. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I want to just make one reference to this parable. Jesus is likening it to planting a seed, and the soil is the human heart. And he says the word of God is the seed that is planted in the human heart. And really there's only one heart that will receive it and accept it, and then it will bear fruit and bring forth salvation. The others don't receive it. And so the problem is, Jesus tells us, the human heart. The word is sown, but the human heart may not be receptive to receive that. But then I want you to look down in verse 26. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. But the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." He then tells a second parable. This is one unique to Mark, of once again casting forth seed to be planted in the soil. In this one, though, he gives us, I think, a truth. And that truth is this, that the farmer goes to sleep, and he doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't know how it's happening, but he knows the seed is going to bear some fruit. And I'm going to mention two or three things for you and I to be encouraged with. First of all, it is our job to sow the seed. It is our job to sow the seed. It is our job to tell people that God loves them. It's our job to tell people that Jesus will save them. It is our job to share God's word. We are simply those who plant the seed. But the second truth is this. It is God who will work in the human heart. God who works in the human heart to bring about that salvation. When the farmer plants the seed, he does not get up in the middle of the night and go dig it up and see if it's growing. He trusts, he knows that he's planted that in the ground and that soil is rich and it's going to eventually bring up that fruit. And so he says in verse 28, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." But the farmer, he may water it. He may do all the things that is necessary. But the farmer is not the one that goes out and makes the seed grow. And I think the illustration is simply this. We plant the seed, but it is God who does the work. It is God who works in the human heart. It is God who works, and even though there are those that are hard-hearted and those that are not receptive, there are still good hearts who will receive the word of God, but God is the one who works. And thirdly, God works in ways we do not see. It's interesting how he puts it, that the farmer goes to bed. He goes to sleep. He goes to rest. He knows that he's planted the seed. He's done his part. It will be up to the soul and the rest that it will bring forth that seed and the fruit thereof. And so it is with us. We plant the seed. But it is God who does the work in ways we don't fully understand. They even today don't fully understand how that life comes forth from that seed. Don't quite fully understand that. But God does, and God works in the human heart to bring about salvation, and that's what we must have confidence in. God is the one who does the work. Now turn over, if you will, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. A famous verse of scripture that we know of Nicodemus, who came to Jesus, and Jesus talked to him about being born again. And so in John chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Now, we're not going to go into all the details, but just simply saying, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, no matter how religious he was, he needed to be born again. That which is flesh is flesh, and flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And he needed to be born again. Titus talks about the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of God in the human heart to regenerate and put life into a person, and they're saved. You are here tonight because somewhere along the way, God worked in your heart and brought about salvation. But I want you to notice one thing in verse 8. Jesus says this, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." He sort of looks at it this way and says it's like the wind. One, you can't control the wind. You can't entirely understand the wind. If they could control the wind, they would. But you can't. You see on television sometimes when they chase tornadoes and they see that thing just twirling around, and they had one on recently where it was twirling around and then it just went back up in the sky and that was it. Only lasted for a little bit. They don't quite understand it, don't quite know where it comes from. They can see the effects of it after it comes. And Jesus says, so it is with a person who's born of God. The Spirit of God is like the wind. You don't quite understand it. You don't know exactly where it may blow. You can't plan to say, okay, we're going to make the wind blow here. No, the wind blows where it wishes, where it listeth, he said. The wind blows where it wishes. You can't control it. You can't understand it. And so it is the same with the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that works in the human heart as he sees fit. And do not think that God is not working whether you see it or not. It makes no difference whether you see it or not. God is like the wind. It will blow where it wishes. It will come where it wishes. And you can't control it. You can't force it. You can't manipulate it. But the Spirit of God is the one who does the work. You know, it's very tempting sometimes to kind of manipulate things. There's a lot of that going on today. Pastor was telling me of going to a church and they had the rock band up there, and he said it was a rock band. It was not just contemporary music was a rock band. And he said they were just carrying on up there, and finally, after a while, then the smoke came up, and the fire came blowing up. And he said, boy, it was just one big show, and this was the worship service. And he made the comment, you know, that's just a little too far for me. I can't quite go that far. There was a crowd there, and that's good. And maybe that's something that might work. But ultimately, you know who does the work? It is the Spirit of God. And you and I can't manipulate. Oh, we can manipulate a decision, but we can't manipulate the Spirit of God, because He is the one who does the work. Now, I want you to turn to one other verse of Scripture and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in this church, they were having fights. And one of their fights was they liked different preachers. And one said, well, I like Apollos. He's a great, gifted teacher. No, I like Paul. No, I like Peter. And so they were really having fights and arguing over preachers, which one they liked the best. I know people have never done anything like that, but that's what they were doing. They were fighting over preachers. And so Paul writes, beginning in 1 Corinthians 3, and he says this in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you yet able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men, or walk as mere men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? What then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, meaning it was God who brought the work about. Paul came and was an aggressive evangelist who preached the gospel, and he's the one who planted. Apollos was a gifted teacher who watered that seed. But you know who brought the crop up? It's the Spirit of God. It's God who brings the crop up. The men who do it are not the one to be honored and glorified. The men who do it are not the ones to be honored and lifted up, because it is God who does the work. You and I are in the business of being farmers. We're out there to plant, and we're out to water what's planted, and we're to trust that God is the one who does the work. God is the one who works in the human heart. God is the one who does the increase. God is the one who brings about the life. You can't force it. You say, well, you know, I'm just not good at it. So, you don't have to be good at it. The Spirit of God is the one who's good at it. Now, Houston say, well, we could improve ourselves and learn and do some things. Yes, we could. But ultimately, it must be the Spirit of God who will transform the human heart. Then Paul goes on in verse 7 and says this. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Did you notice that? Neither one of them are anything. We are merely the instruments whereby God does the work. There's a little quote that says that most of times people brag on their earthly accomplishments, but they also can brag on their spiritual accomplishments. And I see that quite often, bragging on our spiritual accomplishments. And says, was not any enterprise started, there wasn't a monument erected by that person to say, look what has been done through me. Says, oftentimes what is said is even more than God even sees. You know, there's a lot of sayings and a lot of things going on, but I'm going to tell you something. It's God who does the work, whether you and I see it or not. I am more than convinced that God the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives in the town of Boston. We may not see it or might not have seen it and may never see it, because God may move them on to somewhere else or they may leave town. But it is God who does the work. We're simply to be the ones that plant it and who water it. And we are nothing. We're not anything, because it is God who does it. Notice what he then goes on and says in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Each man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, not to his own results. God didn't say you'll be rewarded based on the results. He says you will be rewarded based on the effort put forth in the power of the Lord. But it is God who does the work. One plants, one waters, but it is God who works in the human heart to bring it about and to change the life and to bring a person unto salvation. And you and I can't manipulate it. You can't force it. Recently someone was telling me, said, I have begged and I have pleaded and I have cried and I have pounded and I have gotten mad and I've done everything I could to get them to trust in Jesus. Well, keep trying, but it ain't going to be you. It will only be the Spirit of God. And all we can do is plant. All we can do is be the light. All we can do is trust. What was my title tonight? Confidence in God, not confidence in what you see. If I didn't think God could not save and still save, then I would just give up. Because after all, if all of it was based on our efforts and our manipulation and our doing the right thing, friends, I'm telling you, it is God who does the saving, and it's God who keeps them saved, and it's God who does the work. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to be down. It's easy to look around and say, oh, what's going on? Listen, you've got to have confidence in God. God's salvation is still powerful and good. I don't know about you, but it's been a great work in my heart and life. The only reason I'm who I am today is because of God's salvation. It's worked in my life, and in many of your lives, salvation has worked. It's actually brought a transformation and a change in your life. And whether you see one or 100, or you might say, look at all the members who don't come, or look at all those who quit coming, you may see all those things. But that doesn't mean that God's salvation still doesn't work, and God's not still working in the human heart. What we got to do is make sure we do our own labor and receive the reward that God intends based on the effort we put. But what we got to do is plant the seed. Keep planting the seed. Some human hearts will not receive it. And sometimes you'll plant the seed and you may never see the crop come up. But you keep planting the seed, because it is God who does the work. He says in verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. It is God who is the worker. We are simply instruments to do the work. We are simply the instrument to do the work that God requires us to do, but it is the Holy Spirit who does it. You may not be aware, but there is a very big movement within the Christian community, and it's been going on for some time, but it's ratcheting up even bigger than it's ever been. And quite frankly, I don't know what to do with it, and I don't know what to... I'm having to grow a little bit myself. One of the good examples was recently one of the evangelistic associations had a meeting on one of the forts, and they got all upset and separation church and state and all that. And when I saw it, it once again was a big rock band, and they were leaping and jumping all over the place and carrying on and all that. And what's happened today is people won't be receptive unless we change what we do. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be sticking to muds, but there is a growing movement of doing some of these things. I remember going to a seminar recently, the convention, And one of the men told us how to allow the Spirit of God to move in our church. And as I listened to him talk, I thought, I don't know if that's the Spirit of God. That sounds like a lot of manipulating to me. That sounds like a lot of manipulating folks. He said, I can tell you how to get the people to cry. And he would tell us all this, how you can get the people to cry. If you do this, I'm telling you, you'll have tears like crazy. Okay, I'll leave it with you. But I don't know about you folks. I want to trust the Spirit of God to do the work. No matter what I may see, I still know God's on the throne and he's still at work. Because you know what? You're saved. You've been changed. So it must be real. You know what? It can be real for anyone.